can put a lot in a phone. I put my whole sermon together. I have my Google Docs and then my Bible under it. But it seemed like that took forever. The Lord always uses these things to teach me patience. You know, I've been sick over the last couple. I was sick all weekend and had the flu, and then I'm like on the up. And then last night, just before service, I'm like on the couch after I took a nap again, looking to take another one, and just got the flu again or the chills or something. But I made up my mind to be here. I'm glad I came last night. Amen. Brother Chris shared an awesome word. And you don't know, you know, what you miss out on. There's so many things we miss out on because we just don't go. You know, it's just something God has for us. We don't go. There's something there for us to receive. And those things can be life-changing. You know, that's the thing, like one little truth. You know, we talk about that, like my dad says, you know, when he's gone and some of us are filling in or whatever, and if the Lord moves, you don't want to miss it. You know, he's happy we can hold the fort down, but he doesn't want to miss it. So I'm thankful to be here. Went to bed at 8:30 last night. My mind was going crazy. I was just racing. But I got up this morning. Lord helped me put the rest of these thoughts together. And seems a bit different than what I'm used to. But that seems to be how the Lord works, doesn't it? He does things different a lot of times than we think he's going to do. So if you don't, for you guys that don't know, Pastor, obviously, Pastor Terry's, he's my father. I feel called to preach. I'm probably the youngest of the ministers here. I was joking with somebody. I said, if they go, you know, people get up there and they get real humble, you know, with their humble pie, and I'm the least qualified. Well, that might actually be true in my case. I did, when my dad did announce this, though, as the Lord's been stirring me a lot over this last year or so, and I was like, when he announced it in church, I said, I'm going to go up to him. I just felt like the Lord was going to have me preach one of these messages. And I went up to him, or maybe after church, or called him, like, hey, Dad, you know, kind of sheepishly, because you don't want to, like, you don't put pressure. You want it to be the Lord. Just like, hey, Dad, you know, I can go to him, right? Have you thought about maybe having me preach one of the ministers' conference, you know, one of the meetings? And he goes, you know, actually, I wonder if it was that day or the next morning. Yeah, that morning, the Lord had that thought that he'd have me preach. So you're stuck with me. Amen. I'm excited, too. There's some of our, I own a business called Battle Company. I have some of the staff came to hear, so I'm excited about that. And just excited for all the ministers here. God's got something he wants to speak to you in all these meetings. Try to come to everyone you can. You're going to get something, okay? Just make up your mind to do that. And if you make up your mind, you can somehow find a way. That just seems to be how it works. You know, if we can come and preach when we're sick, you can come if you just make up your mind. So, you know, it's interesting to me with these meetings. All the people that have are preaching one of these messages have impacted me in one way profoundly, spoke something of truth, you know, whether it was my dad being a godly man, loving the Lord, you know, he let me know there was more to this Christian life. I'm going to cry a few times. Let me get it out of my way. You know, just being a godly man and teaching me that there's more to this Christian life than maybe what it looked like in the landscape of Christianity. When you grow up in the church, that can be kind of a confusing thing because you grow up and you're looked at as a good guy in the world's eyes and all those things, you know, and you know Jesus died. You know, all of my kids, all the kids of this church will grow up and know that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, but it's a whole other thing when you really know he did it for you, you know, amen. And that's such an awesome, profound revelation. And I remember one of the messages he preached after I got revived about being perfect, which he kind of said, you know, obviously we are sinners saved by grace, but that's the point is that we can't live perfect before the Lord, that God can look down on us and he is pleased that I don't have to sin. You know, that was such an encouraging truth. I remember learning not too long after I got revived and I made up my mind to start coming to this church. Brother Owens, of course, obviously he was monumental. It's exciting that we're going to give him you guys a 1-2 punch. I'm going to preach tomorrow and he's going to preach tonight. Obviously, he came, and I could, you know, I know where I was sitting when he told me that harlot, when she kisses you, you feel something, you know, but it just touches your outward man and never touches the inward. And that one little truth. God's ways aren't our ways. You know, one simple message, you know, that a man took the time to hear from God and speak from God, and that message changed my life, brought me to an altar of repentance, set my heart on him. Made me alive in Jesus. Amen. And now Lazarus, when he came out of that grave, he still had some grave clothes on. Remember preaching that? You know, and oh, boop, boop, you got to peel those grave clothes off. And Chris, I've told him this. I don't know if he remembers, but he came and he preached to us, and he preached about Philippians, about Paul, and how they're going to send Timothy. And it says in verses Philippians 2, 20 and 20 through 22 that he said he had no one like-minded who would sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own and not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, and that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. That just so stirred me. I go, oh, Lord, let that not be true. Lord, I could be one that would sincerely care for the state of others. Amen. And the Lord's allowed me to do that in people's lives. He's allowed me to do that in this church. He's given me some opportunity to go and preach here and there. But that was such an exciting truth that I'd be like-minded. So I said, I'll be like-minded. I'm willing to care. I'm willing to sincerely care for the state of others and not care for just the state of my own. Amen? And Lee, my dad brought that dang sermon home from the conference. I remember we were watching it on the projector at church, just about, you know, your first love and coming back to your first love. And I just like, who is this guy? Seriously, I wept through that whole sermon. You know, just while I was weeping, I was like, oh, man. You know, he'd always bring one message home he thought really ministered that would be a blessing to us, and it was such a blessing. He also had me come preach his youth camp, and he's had other preachers and do his things, but it was at a time where I just felt like, what is my Christian life? You know, where is my calling? You know, is God pleased with me? And then this guy calls me and says, hey, by the way, the Lord, you know, is going to have you, I'd like to have you come preach my youth camp. And, you know, there's times I remember thinking that my Christian life would never be the same. But, you know, that's such a lie of the devil. That's such a lie. He, you know, like you get on fire for the Lord, and then you start to face things and trials and tribulations. And faced many things. I know I don't stand up here not battle-tested. The Lord's put me through some very challenging things, but that produced much in me that I know will make me valuable to minister as the Lord starts to set the course of my life and where he'd have me to minister. But that's just such a lie. You know, Jordan and I were talking about that. Oh, it's you know, when you were on fire with the Lord, that was the greatest time. No way. No way. No way. That's a great time, no doubt. Amen. It's great when you burst out of the womb, amen, in your life, and all the sounds, the colors, the smells, right? But that's just the beginning, amen? Yeah. Amen, yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Just that song we sing, Amazing God, you know, he's still amazing me. We sang it last night, he still cares, he still hears, he's still mending broken hearts, and he's drying tears, amen? I always, you know, I get excited when my dad talks about, you know, the next generation church doesn't have to be worst, you know. It's always like, yeah, it's the decline of the church and the decline of America. It's bleak. It's a bleak fiscal outlook. It's bleak. Yeah, but you know what? Man, there's just so much more. Like, why, you know, John just talked, why can't we be great? Why can't the next generation that comes up rise up to do more things for God? Greater exploits, amen? And I believe that. I'm going to hold on to that. You can hang on to your bleak outlook of the church. Amen. You know, just wanted this thought the Lord gave me to encourage some of you young people here. You know, you may think at times you're inadequate, okay, to do the things that God would have you to do. You just came to Him. You're just starting to know Him. You're just starting to understand His truth. He's just starting to shine His light on you. But you may think you're inadequate based on your understanding of who He is. But if you met Him, you at least know who He is. Amen. And that's a light, and you can walk on that. You know, a thought the Lord gave me is that, you know, sometimes you may babble. Babies babble. And you know what we do? Oh, congratulations. Oh, did you hear the squawking and squeaking and noise that baby was making? You know what? And God can use that. Amen. God stands there and claps as you're babbling. And He can use that, and I know, because He used me through a lot of babbling. There comes a time where you will get rebuked for babbling, or you need to speak like a big boy. You know, your time will come, and He is going to make you a big boy, and He's going to make you strong in Him. Amen? You know, I preached out at, we do these meetings in Columbus, and we were out there, and the Lord gave me this awesome little truth. And just even as I tried to put this whole sermon together, just kind of a mixed bags of thoughts and things the Lord would give me over the course of some years, but also, you know, just recording it as I knew I was going to be sharing. And this is such an awesome truth, I think, for ministers. You remember in Mark chapter 10, and the people are bringing the babies to Jesus, right? And then the ministers, you know, the disciples are stopping the people. You know what's interesting is the verbiage used to describe Jesus. You know what it was? It says He was greatly displeased. I started to think about that. I was like, I don't know if I remember it. And someone can gladly correct me or show me, you know, and I'm sure there are. Maybe I'm unaware. But I started to think that greatly displeased. When is that verbiage used of Jesus' actions? You know, describes Jesus' feeling. Well, I know he cleansed the temple, right? And He's chasing out and His, you know, zeal for the house and the money changers. Obviously, He wasn't very happy. You know, His joke, He wasn't like, you know, hey, guys, you know, just want to let you know you shouldn't be doing this in here. You know, He chased them out with a whip. No, but there's just something like one of the great ministries, or the great ministries that the minister has is just bringing the young to Him, you know. That's why it greatly displeased Him, you know. And let us not be those kind of ministers. Amen? Amen. All right, I'm going to start preaching now. And I'm thankful to say this. I'm a product of good ministry. And that was something I always wanted to say. If I got a chance to preach this, I'm a product of you, the ministers. Amen? I'm a product of your ministry, your willingness to hear God, your willingness to go before Him, your willingness to lay down your life and not go your way, but go His way, to hear His voice and speak that to us. Amen? That I'm a product of that. You know, man, he can only give of what he has. And he shouldn't really have what he's not willing to give. Amen? That's 1 Aaron chapter 3. Okay. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16 verses 13 through 15. No one's going to be adding my chapter and book to the Bible. Don't worry about that. I'm not going to do that either. Matthew 16. I'm just going to pray. God, I just ask, Lord, for you to anoint me, God, to preach to your ministers, to your people, Lord God, that I speak from heaven, Lord God, anointing come over me. Holy Ghost, fill me and speak through me, God. I pray every heart here and mind would be open to hear, Lord, to receive, God, to grow, to go deeper, to know you more, Lord God. So I pray, make these truths, Lord, that you've made real to me, God, real to everyone here, Lord, that's willing to receive. Have your way in this place, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So you see this discourse between Jesus and Peter. And Jesus asks a question. This is verse 13. He says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, the Son of Man am? Who do men say that I am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he says to them, but who do you say that I am? We see this first question asked in this discourse here. And when Jesus asks the question many times, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. It's because he wants you to come to the answer. He wants you to come to the conclusion of his question. And we see these people's understanding. They had Jesus Christ himself walking before them, doing his works. He's at this time, in when this was written, he'd already performed some miracles. He's preached messages. He's done his work. And the people's understanding of who he was John the Baptist and Elijah and Jeremiah or former prophets or some good teacher. And I think many times the church is no different. We wonder about who Jesus is, and we look at maybe the men of God that have come before us that God has used to do a work, and we say he's the God of Finney, and he's the God of Moody, and Spurgeon, and the God of Clendenin or David Wilkerson. You know, all maybe men that God has used for their time in a place, and they were spiritual. You know, you can hop on YouTube, I tell people this, and find anything you really want to know about who God is. There's a lot of people that will tell you a lot of things about who God is and who his nature is. And, you know, I've just been saying, like, I've just been delivered from the YouTube prophets, you know. Well, a YouTube prophet, you can't walk with them. They can get up there and sound all high-minded and knowledgeable in their doctrine and everything they understand and what they know about God and who he is and how they studied out history, and they're so knowledgeable and the times they spent and all that high-mindedness, and they don't even know God. You don't even know. You can't walk with them. You can't talk with them. You can't see if the love of God and the Spirit of God flows out of their life. You know, that's one of the great values of being a part of the church, is being around men and women and brothers and sisters in Christ, where you can go and observe the life of God working and moving in one another. Amen. That's so valuable. You'll learn so much if you just open your eyes and watch. If you pay attention, listen to what the pastor says, listen to what a brother says, listen to what's said during a time of testimony, reading the words of the songs and applying them to your heart. There's so much we can learn. Amen. But men have all kinds of ideas of who Jesus is, right? And they can tell you all about him. You know, there's only one real Jesus. Amen. And that's the Jesus I want to serve. That's the Jesus I want to know. I don't want to have any wrong understanding, any wrong doctrine, not one thing that I understand wrong about him. Amen? These men, though, they've seen Jesus' ministry. And how important it is for us, especially the minister, to see Jesus for who he really is. To have an accurate understanding of who God is, amen? To know God more, amen? To know God is to know God more is to better understand his character and nature, who he is, amen? Who he really is. This takes place when you're born again, right? But it takes place all along the way. You found him, but you're going to find more of him. There's a lot more truth he has before you, amen? Has any of us arrived? None have, right? There's more to know. There's a deeper place to go, right? We talked about that. We sang in the songs. There's a deeper place to go to God with God, and what is going deeper with God look like? And you know what? You know, people maybe try to explain that away. And my dad preached a message pretty recently here about, you know, going into the water at the lake and swimming, and then, you know how, you know, my niece Paige, she didn't want to swim to the depths because she's scared of the weeds. And next thing you know, she can't handle it because we're having so much fun out there. You know, it's just like a sweet little message. But going deeper is scary, right? That can be scary. You know, when there's a greater place to go with God, God wants to take us. It's a great place, but it's uncharted. You know, it's unknown waters. You know, and that can be a fearful thing. You know, did you ever think about this, that you can go to the comfort of your Bible, but actually that can keep you from going deeper? Consider that. I can go to, you know, we go to what we know instead of going, letting the God that knows it all take us to a place we never knew about. Amen? A greater place, a greater revelation, a greater understanding, more of Him, more understanding of who He is and His nature and His love and His Spirit and what it looks like to flow and move among us and what it means to really minister Jesus Christ to those around us. You know, there was a statement made in the Bible. It says that was a deeper statement. It was a going deeper statement. And Jesus said it to His disciples. He said, if you don't drink my blood, right? If you don't eat my body and eat my flesh and drink my blood, that's a scary statement. Can you imagine if you're there like, what? Huh? What are you saying, Jesus? Okay. You know, I signed up, I dropped my net and all, I'm going to follow you, but now we got to do what? You know, but God was taking those disciples to a deeper place. There was something more than just, you know, following after Jesus. It was about consuming Jesus and feasting on Jesus and knowing Him and knowing His nature and character. Willing to let God shake our current understanding, our current knowledge, amen, to take us to a deeper place, amen. We go with, you know, the secret to know, you know, going deeper is we got to know our Bibles. And that's true. There's truth in that. But knowing Bible verses isn't the same as knowing God. All those YouTube prophets know Bible verses too. There's churches all around this country that you can go and you can learn the Bible, you can learn Scripture, but you're not going to learn God. And it's all wrapped in Scripture and Bibles with notes and, you know, understanding of Scriptures and doctrinal, you know, correct understandings of what the Scripture really means. You can learn something just like you can go to college, learn how to program or, you know, or business marketing, and you can learn a trade. We're going to learn the Scriptures, you know, but I've come to learn so much more than Scriptures, amen? I've come to know God, amen? The ministers, they'll give Scripture, they'll proclaim Scripture, they study Scripture, yet lack a real understanding of the character and nature of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm confident this doesn't necessarily describe the ministers here. We are just as susceptible to having a limited and shallow understanding of God. We predetermine what sections of the Bible mean. Joe and I talk about this a lot. I'm very blessed man to have a right-hand guy at my work who loves the Lord, and we talk about godly things at work all the time. That's such a blessing. You know, and I preached a while back just saying, I know I'm able to do that today because every job I went to, I made sure to minister Christ. You know, I feel like it's part of this reward the Lord's given me, His favor. You know, at first you almost feel bad. You know, because success is kind of a scary thing, you know, because you go like, oh man, you know, a rich man and success and all those things, you know where it could head next, you know, and I'm aware of that. I am. I always keep that in my mind, you know, but to know that God, He'll keep you through it all. Yeah. You know, Paul said those things where he learned to be content in all things, whether he's living in God's blessing and whether you're going to lose your house. I was going to lose my house, and I went from losing my house to owning a business that does millions of dollars. You know, who would have ever thought? But God knows, and I'm thankful to be a part of that. And there's going to, I believe, a time He's going to move me on from that. And sorry to tell you guys that, those from work. Joe knows, We always say, Aaron, when he does, you better do that or things are going to go downhill at Battle Company. But we predetermine what sections of Scripture mean, and we'll not budge, and we're not going to let God deal or open it or expand beyond the scope of our thinking and understanding. You know, or we, this is another thought, we arrogantly teach God Scripture. We do that sometimes, just like, we're going to tell God what the Scriptures mean. The Scripture Himself. Lord gave me this. I was excited. I was telling my dad, thinking about the parable of the talents. Think of the Bible as a talent. Couldn't we say it's one of those things the Lord's given us? It's valuable, right? It's a valuable thing God's given us. And it's something we've received, you know, and you know the story. You know, some were given five, some were given two talents, and one was given one talent. And we're given this talent of the Bible, something we're supposed to carry, the Word of God, you know. And I started to think about the man that buried his talent. And I was thinking about, like, ministry and ministers and organizations that, like, bury people. And they'll bury them in, you know, and religion and Scripture and, you know, and put them down, right? And they're, it's heavy and it's weighty, you know, and it's like the Bible's right there next to them. But you know when the master came back, right? And he found that man and he had to go dig it up and, you know, he had that opinion of his master. He had nothing of increase to show. And if all I have, think of this, if all I have when he comes back is just my Bible, that Bible was given to produce. It was given to produce something. It was insight. It's a cheat guide. It's a secret. Look into the character of nature of Jesus Christ. But it was still meant to do something. Like, I'm picturing people, it's like, well, you know, I learned, you know, growing up in the AGs, you learned, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So then I'm going to stand up before God and say that to him. And then somehow, because I've said that to him and I've quoted enough times, then that is going to be the life it produces in me. And it doesn't work that way. You know, you can read a verse 50 times. You can keep reading it. That's right. But you can keep reading it. You know, but if the Holy Ghost doesn't make it real, how can it produce any life? Amen? There's something more. You know, and I haven't been able to always put the thoughts together, but I make these statements that are maybe a little scary. That's what I think. They're a little scary, but I just can't help but to understand that the Lord has taken me somewhere deeper. And it's not a downplay of the Word of God. You know, I think something that would be super beneficial for us as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we say the Word of God. You know, if we said the voice of God, how that might be a bit different. Does that make sense? No doubt the Bible is God's voice. He penned it. It was inspired of the Holy Spirit, and it came from the hearts of men. But men wrote it. You know, one of the awesome truths my dad told me, he just reminded me of, that I was really excited about when I was, you know, I'm learning and growing, is that Stephen didn't have a little New Testament Bible in his back pocket. I was like, whoa! It's like, oh yeah, that's right. Praise God, we can. I know that I'm thankful. Every sermon I've ever preached, I've preached something from the Scriptures that God gave. I'm thankful for that, but that just tells us, like, you mean they just got it from God Himself? Why can't we? Is the Holy Ghost any different? Right? Is He any different? Can I not get the same truth from the Holy Ghost Himself? You know, I tell people I've learned things about God and then I read it. And that they're bothered by that. How is that possible? It's possible because the Holy Ghost is the revealer. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. Amen. I was so excited in Bible study. You know, I said, I raised my hand one day. I'm all fired up. I'm like, you know, we didn't just get truth. We got the Spirit of truth. Amen. He gave us so much more than just some truth about Him, but He gave us His Spirit that possesses all truth. Don't be laughing. You know, I was thinking too, like the Bible can be one of those sweet things when you're going through like a trial. You know, I've talked and I've had my own trials, and a lot of people have ministered to me from among their own trials, and all that they're able to grab onto that verse, you know. And that's one of, I think, the great gifts of the Bible, that there are those things God spoke, and just remind yourself, you know. So I definitely would not be downplaying that, but I just, He's just got to be more. You know, I love the verse. It says all the books in the world can contain if they're written about God. You know, we the church think He's only contained in that one book. And we are going to have His truths and nature and love and holiness and righteousness and everything be revealed. You know, you preach that sermon, David, Brother Owens, where it's the seraphim are looking and they're just going like, holy, holy. Because they're like, every time they look at Him, they see more of Him, more of His goodness and His greatness and His revelation and truth. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to say this, going to your Bible isn't always the same as going to God. He's in there, without a doubt. But I had that thought, can I just go to Him? You know, one of the ways the Lord taught me this is think about when you minister to somebody and you're talking to them and, you know, you got to hear the voice and mind of God. And you need to say what God would have you to say. That doesn't leave room for you to pull out your Bible all the time. It's going to require you to hear from God. I'm thankful Brother Owens heard from God. It's going to require you to hear from God, because that's when effective ministry takes place. Jesus told the woman at the well, you know, go find your husband, right? He needed to hear that, and that's what he had to say. You know, told another woman, go sin no more. He needed to hear what the Father would have him to speak, amen? That's the more intimate place. Thank you, Lord. Here are some things. This is really some struggling. The sickness threw me in a little loop. I was better and then got worse. But these are just some thoughts the Lord gave me. I think will be a blessing to you guys. And they've given me a clearer viewer of who God is. They've corrected my understanding. They've deepened my understanding. And I hope they encourage and challenge you. It doesn't make sense to me how they all come together and make sense in one sermon. So instead of trying to figure that out, I just decided, well, Lord, you make sense of it. You gave it to me. So maybe it doesn't follow the normal format, but that's okay. God likes to change it up. Old John the Baptist doesn't seem to fit the normal format. We learned about that yesterday. Amen. Well, I was excited when Chris said that, you know. Here's something I think ministers, actually I think our group of ministers that we've got to be a part of and learn from and can struggle with, is that we understand He's our servant, but we struggle with Him that He's our friend. Because we're like, He's got to be Savior and Lord. And it's the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, and we sometimes struggle with that because we know we're His servants. Where we've already accepted that. You know, you've been ministering because you've accepted that He's you're His servant. You know, but He says, I call you my friend. And not just like the shallow way, the modern church, I'm a friend of God. We are a friend of God, but we are His friend. I'm thankful Joe's my friend. I'm always thankful for people that work for me, you know. But how much more can I have with Joe? Because we love the Lord and we serve the Lord. You know, then we have intimate moments together where we've gone through trials and loved on one another and built a relationship. That seems to me something greater than Joel just coming to work for me and serving me, right? Isn't that a sweet little truth? Yeah. We fail to understand that in our you know, at times in our goal to do the ministry of God. But we are his friend, amen? You know, we talked a little bit about this, that, you know, someone else's ministry isn't always, it's not greater than your ministry. The work that God's doing in you, that's just as great. You know that some of the most valuable teaching material you will ever have as a minister, and you probably already know this, is what God's just doing in your own life. What he's put you through, what trials you face, what you face at the church. You know, is that any less valuable than the trials that those churches and the epistles we read about, where they had to correct people and put out people and you know, correct people who were going into the law and losing sight of the Spirit of God? Those are their dealings, amen? And your dealings with others, your dealings on the road of ministry, your dealings within your church, those are valuable things. Those are worth preaching. Those are worth telling. Those can be some of the most profound things you can share with people, is the inward dealings and the things that God has brought you through and taught you. They may not understand all things that you understand because you had to go through it. That's okay. But it will be valuable for them. Amen. We preach on those Bible stories and the dealings in the epistles, and we don't even consider how much valuable, more maybe valuable it can be, the things that God's done in us. Just love this. Isn't it not the same Spirit? I'm going to say it again. That worked in them, that worked in us. That gives me such confidence. You know, it gives me confidence to come up here and preach. Anytime I get an opportunity to preach, it's like that same Spirit that worked in Peter and James and John and Stephen, he works in me. Amen. God's individual workings in you are valuable, and it's great preaching material. Amen. And we compare ourselves. You know, it's still foolish today, right? It's still foolish to compare ourselves among other ministers and among other ministries. We want to recreate what the Holy Ghost is doing at some church, but you don't get to. You know, we see the formula like, oh, that's where the Lord's moving. Oh, that's where the Lord's moving. And, you know, I always think, like, the intentions are good. Because, you know, I want the Lord to move. I want, you know, but it's just like, that's why I got to a point where I was like, I you know, Jeremy razzed me a little. I go, I've been delivered from old men. Like, well, what does that mean? I want to learn from old men. I do. I've learned. That's what I've tried to do. I try to listen to those that have gone before me, right? But it's just, I've been delivered in the sense that it's like, I don't care. I mean, it's great God moved in their day, but he's got to move in my day. Amen? He wants to move in our day, in our churches, in our people. Well, that's part of the thing. We compare, and then we're going to read, and then this man, it's always like, that man has the insight that I'm lacking. You know, that's what happens in internet marketing. You know, people, I studied this out a lot. I built my business, you know, generating leads and bringing people to buy. I mean, I started my company by showing people a drawing and then said, give me your money. All right, that's pretty rare. But as I studied, you know, that internet marketing, one thing I observed, you know, is there's always the feeling that you're missing something or that you don't quite have the knowledge or there's some piece of information. And don't worry, the gurus have it. They always do, you know. They got that thing, and we kind of are like that sometimes in the church. It's like, oh, you know, the Lord's moving. He's working there, you know, and we desire that, and we're going to look to that. What did they do? I bet they looked to God. That's going to be my guess. Amen? You know, and that this thing, I go like, well, Lord, how does... If I'm called to be an evangelist, if that's my calling, or you know, how does my ministry look even to Jeremy's? Man, he does it all day. You know, he does it every day. Or David, you know, Brother David Owens, or some of you other ministers here. You know, but Lord, I just want to do the ministry you've given me. Amen. And if that's being at this business for the time, then that's a good ministry, amen? It's sufficient ministry, and it's the right ministry, you know? And I make a point to minister when I'm there, amen? Some of us desire to be Moses when he wants us to be a Joshua and Caleb, right? You know, we look, and some want to be Peter when he's making us a John, or Philip when he's making us a Stephen. Let him make him what you want, what he wants you to be, amen? We don't want to get caught looking to the ministry to our left or to our right, but we must look to the minister of life, amen? Another thing I think a minister deals with is discernment. God's discernment that he's given you is for a purpose, and it's actually not to be repented of. Have you ever had that thought, like, oh, God, I see this, and you almost feel bad? Have you ever had that? It's like you're able to discern some, you almost feel bad, right? It's like you feel bad that you see that, you know, but I just want to encourage you not to feel bad. It's nothing to be repented of, okay? A heart that loves can feel bad what God's revealed to you of a circumstance or of a person, but he's given it to you for their value, amen, for their admonishment, for their growth, for the and the strength of the body. It's an absolute necessity for the minister to have discernment. Amen? Gives us the ability to tell the lost man that he can find Jesus. Gives us the ability to tell the stiff-necked religious people stuck in their religious ways that they're stiff-necked in heart and resist the Holy Ghost. Amen? Discernment's given to us so we can deliver the right message. Amen? Trust that discernment. Don't feel bad about it. When you're able to discern what the Holy Ghost reveals. Here's one I love. So you know you can walk in God's favor. That's so awesome. There's so much of Christianity that teaches that, you know, like Brother Chris said about kind of making the way more narrow. You know, we're used to maybe coming against that, which would make the way broader than, you know, make it a broad way. And we know that takes place without a doubt, kind of anything goes. But it seems to be the ones that do the most damage at times is those that make, like Chris said, the way narrower. And there's like not even a belief that you can please God. That to know I can please God, that's so encouraging to me. Yes. Isn't it? To like you're gonna mean like God can look at your ministry and go like, yeah, I'm pleased. Oh yeah, oh yeah, that's my son, that's my servant, that's my daughter. Oh yeah, I'm pleased. Amen. I was thinking some strive to have God's favor. And others walk in it. You know, this other thought came. It's like some, I don't know how this comes all together, but it's just like some fight hard to crucify their own flesh, and others walk in the Spirit, which by mortifying the deeds of the flesh. You know, it's just like, but that thought, he's not pleased with us. And that's just like one of the greatest little truths he taught me. He's like, Aaron, I can be pleased with you. You know, I'm pleased with you when you walk in my word, walk in my way, do my will, amen? Here's a fun thought. This is like I said, it's kind of a mixed bag. I can't describe it. What makes the Christian peculiar? This is something, Lord. There's a lot of weird people in Christianity. Well, there's a lot of weird things in just religion in general in churches. You know, I remember we went to the conference and one year, we were a bunch of knuckleheads. We're just excited to be there. We're just like, whoa, all these ministers in one place. You know, like, oh, God's got to show up here. You know, we were a bunch of knuckleheads. I remember this guy, he's wearing a coat of many colors. You know, and I don't know, maybe God would have him do that. You know, but there's just always something weird and funny. the opposite. You know, especially for you evangelists that have gone to a lot of different places. But like, what makes the Christian peculiar? It's surely not those things, right? It's surely not just those weird quirks that we, you know, jump around. Yeah, that might be a little peculiar to the world that we like to come together and sing songs about his name. But I don't know if that's so peculiar. But you know what's peculiar to the world? Is when you love when they don't. That's peculiar to them. When you forgive when they hold on to bitterness. That makes you different. When you show mercy when they're ready to cut off. When they're done with people and you exercise love. That's different. That's the kind of peculiar I want to be. I'm a little bit weird. But I want to be a peculiar person because they're just like, you're just not like me. You're different than me. Not because, oh, I wear this spiritual garment. I'm holy. I've attended the service of the Most High God. I look this way. I dress. Lord. But I'm peculiar. I'm different. And they don't understand that. Here's something I was touched on a little, that a man's disposition is not the same as God's nature in a man. A man's disposition is not the same as God's nature in a man. You know, I think a lot of times, a lot of the church gets fooled on the outward disposition of a man. Those men then become put into ministries, right? You know how many times I've met a nice pastor? Well, what do you think? A harlot church isn't going to have a nice pastor? You know, think about it. Of course he's going to be nice. The devil says he'll change himself into a minister of light. He's going to be nice. I mean, that nice. People are nice, you know? But then when it comes to the deeper things of God and handling the work of God and doing the ministry of God and going deeper with God, they're suddenly not so nice. You know, some of us have encountered that. You know, but we see a quiet demeanor and say, well, that person's humble. Maybe not. Maybe they're not. You know, we see someone, they're so willing to say this and that. They're so bold. Maybe not. Maybe they should just be quiet. That's me sometimes. Willing to spout off their Bible. Oh, they're willing to tell everybody what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. Oh, the boldness of God rests upon them. That word disposition, I was just looking it up in the as a definition. It's a prevailing tendency or mood or inclination or a temperamental makeup. Maybe the tendency of something to act a certain manner. And I was just thinking, you know what temperament I need is Jesus. Amen? Yes. Be tempered by him. Yes. And that man will be, and that woman will be a good minister for him. This is a cool truth. Got two more, I think. So we'll wrap this up. Did you know your zeal isn't going to make it happen? Nancy, Sandy, and I talk a lot about teaching you to walk by faith. You know, I think probably by the time, Lee, when you called me, my zeal was running out. Starting to maybe come to the end of my zeal. You know, there's just something God, I think, does in the new believer, and he revives them. He's just so present. You know, that baby needs so much tending to, you know. But then that baby's going to grow, and it's going to be able to carry out some of the tasks and be able to operate in the way the parents have taught them. But zeal is not the gasoline for your ministry. I was just, put that in a bumper sticker. Here, think of this. Have you ever considered that it's zeal that makes men join false religions? You know, I was thinking, like, how do men fly planes and crash into the towers, giving their life, thinking they're doing the work of Allah, you know, and that they're doing the work of God, and God is going to be pleased as they kill innocent people. It's because of the zeal. There's all kinds of zeal in religion. There's all kinds of zeal in false religion. And men are drawn to zeal. They are. That's just true. Men are drawn, and they're drawn by the zeal of false prophets and false religion. And if they have something I don't possess, or they know something, and you see that zeal, and people are drawn to it. You know, it's like they're always impressed at the things they don't do. Or they desire the spiritual more than to be spiritual. Or they desire it to be well-rounded, because you're zealous and they want to have that. You think a Muslim, he can pray 5 times a day and he doesn't even know God, right? 5 times a day. And you're going, oh man, I didn't pray enough, Lord. You know, it's just like, oh God. I told someone, I said, you know, in regards to like the laying down of your flesh, and then we go like, oh, I'm going to put this flesh, you know, in subjection. It's going to get up at this time, and I'm going to pray. And there, you have to do that. I see the value of that, no doubt. I mean, I had to tell myself this morning, feeling sick, I'm going to get up. I had to set the alarm, and I had to get my body moving up and going. So I know there's that time, but I was like, you know, the church gets so guilty of like trying to kill their flesh. You know, like they're so focused on it. They're going to crucify the flesh. And I go like, you know what? Just wake up today and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what's going to happen? He'll give you an opportunity to lay your life down. He'll give you an opportunity where your flesh has an opportunity to rise up and you can mortify the deeds of the flesh. Amen? Isn't that just a sweet truth? It's like, well, we're going to find it. I'll suffer for, you know, it's almost like a spiritual laceration. You know, there's those, the cutting of oneself, like the prophets of Baal. You know, it's like, oh, I don't want to do this, therefore I'm going to do it. I'll show the Lord, I'll lay my life down, right? You know, and people do that. I don't want to go, but I'm going to go help the homeless. I don't want this, but I'm going to travel here, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And all along the line, you know, God just said, I want you to just do what I ask you to do. Amen? Real simple. Just do what I'm asking you to do. Praise God. And simplified it for me. You know, it just simplified it for me. Because I determined, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then when you don't, you just feel God's upset with you. And it's like, I never asked you to even do that. How can I be upset with you if I didn't ask you to do it and then you don't do it? You know, that's kind of like that. Here's one that was really cool. Does God's feelings get hurt? Does Jesus need our protection? Oh, this is so exciting to me. Because I was thinking, like a minister, there's maybe just like where we do that at times. You know, that we don't consider that, like, God's feelings aren't getting hurt. The essence of love, right? Those that love aren't easily offended, are they not? You know, I've seen some awesome things where people have said horrible things and the response back was nothing but love. Men does that, right? Men can do that through God. How much more the very measure of love, who you can describe as the ultimate example of love, doesn't get hurt feelings. You know, his great love extends out more than just us that serve him. But he died for the world, the Bible says. Amen? And he desires that all men come to him. You know, there may be some here, you don't know him, but you can know him. And he died for you. And if you let him, he'll make himself real. Amen? Amen, Kalen?
But we get like Peter. We're going to come to the defense of Jesus. And Jesus never needed Peter's sword, right? He doesn't need mine. He doesn't need yours. The Bible even says that if anyone speaks a word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven them, either in this age or age to come. So we look to come to Jesus' aid. We're gonna come with our scriptures. We're gonna come to the valiant name of Jesus. And it seems such like a valiant effort. I'm sure Peter's like, yeah, here we go. I'm ready to die. I'm gonna be like Samson. I'm gonna be like David. You know? And it's like, oh, Peter, come here. Let me get that ear. God, like, nobody talks about my daddy that way. No young person is going to talk, they're not going to talk about my daddy that way. And he's going like, son, I can take it. This thing can do just more damage. Jesus had to repair the ear of that soldier that Peter cut off. He'd have slaughtered all those people, and who would have took him over to the cross? Who would have took him before the religious and before the kings? We like to fight. Done it. I've done this. We like to fight, and we're saying we're doing it for God. But all it does is create a situation for him to have to clean up. You know, it almost makes me think ministers are more susceptible to these actions because of their closeness to Christ. Think of that. Because you love the Lord. He's done so much in you, you know? And part of that closeness is being able to recognize when the sword must stay in its sheath. And then when that sword should be drawn, amen? The great name of Jesus doesn't need our protection. It just needs our proclamation. Oh, man, this is... Wrapping this up here. The end of this discourse in Matthew goes on in verse 16. Matthew 16, 16 through 20. Jeremy, if you want to come. Peter goes on, he was asked, but who do you say that I am? Where this thought came from, I was upstairs and I was walking to the bathroom. I told Jeremy I wouldn't say that point. The Lord gave me this thought. I was in the bathroom. I know. That's true. Kaylin jokes that I'll come out of the bathroom with a new idea at work all the time. I don't know why it's like that, but I'm like, yeah, that's true. Maybe I just like shut down for a second with the gerbil wheel in my brain. You know, and I was thinking on a guy that I've had some interactions with, you know, someone I love. And he's always posting something of some great minister of the past. And then this just thought came to me. It's just like, you know, it's like, Aaron, but who do you say that I am? Yeah. Who cares what they said? Yeah. I'm concerned with what you say that I am. Right. Amen. And Peter goes on to say, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, amen, has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. I love this. It's like the establishing of Peter's ministry. And on this rock I will build my church, that truth of Jesus. That's the rock. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Let the Father hand you the keys. Amen. And whatever you bind on earth, he will bind in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That sounds like it's going to be a productive ministry for Peter. Peter received a greater revelation that day, did he not? You know, that's how I came into this. I received a revelation of who Jesus is. And the Lord just been telling me, Aaron, that's how you're going to finish. That's how you're going to finish. That's how you're going to finish the course, is that he's going to reveal himself all along the way. Amen? And that's going to make the ministry effective. We ought to not get frustrated when people don't understand the revelations that God has given you. And people in our bodies, in the churches we go to, may not always understand what God has given you to say. But they just not stepped into the light that you were stepped into. Amen? I can't beat that truth into them that can only come to them by revelation, by the same way it came to you. Amen? Now, when does the Word of God become living and active? Ever thought about that? Like when the Word is really valuable in your life? Because obviously we know a man that's not born again, that Bible's just a book to them. Obviously to us, it's full of awesome truths, such insight of God. You know, you can love your neighbor, the Bible says. The Bible tells you to do that, and people can read that. A carnal man can read that. But can he really love his neighbor? Do I have to read that to know I'm to love? I know it was in there. There's times I need to remind myself. But what if I just let the character and nature of God flow out of me? Come from me. Will I not indeed love my neighbor? You know, I had a good friend, a guy that's been with me since the beginning. He was on my first webinar. He's really caught up in the law right now. I did this big study on the law, and the Lord was showing me so much, you know, pertaining to the things of the law. I'm not going to go into all details of that. But my God, you know, he just makes things so simple. You know, when he says, you love me and you love your neighbor, you love others. Man, what a simple life we've been given to live. Amen. You know, awesome verse. I was telling another brother, I said, you know what it says? You know where it says love covers a multitude of sins? And it says, above all things. Above all things. You might as well stop there. Above all things, have fervent love one for another. That sounds like a pretty high level thing that God wants us to understand. Amen? But as we allow his character and his revelations and his truths to take us deeper and correct our understanding and deepen our understanding, we will be effective ministers. Thank you, Lord. And I was thinking all along my life, I'm going to learn something from the Bible, but everything I'm going to learn is going to come by revelation. Some of it will never make sense until God gives me a revelation and then I read it. Amen? Or I'll read it and he'll give me the revelation. So who do you say that I am? That's what the Lord wants to say to us this morning. That's always been his concern. It's who I am in you. And out of that, I can do great works through you. Amen? Is it not important for us, especially the minister, to really know who Jesus is? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Worthy are you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you stand?